like to speak to you this morning on the topic of the sacrifice of praise. And as a way of introduction, I'd like to direct your attention to Hebrews chapter 13. That's Hebrews chapter 13. From verses 7 through 9 through 17, the writer of Hebrews gives us a complete thought or teaching point on Jesus Christ being the sacrifice for sin. As we heard from Brother David last night, is that the Hebrews were under persecution. These were Hebrews that had converted to Christianity. They were Jewish converts, and they were in danger of going back under the old law and Levitical service. I mean, through habit, through the pressure of family and culture and teachers and friends and foes, they were always in danger of going back, which they knew, which was the Old Testament law service. So the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them and directing them to the fact that Jesus Christ was, in fact, the fulfillment of those Old Testament rituals and sacrifices, and He is the sacrifice for sin. Verse 9, He tells us and tells them, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines." In other words, He's telling them that Jesus Christ, the reality, is here. Therefore, you can put away the ritual. The sacrifices under the old Levitical service were pictures and signs pointing us to Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for sin. And because Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for sin, we, as Christians, ought to be doing some sacrifices ourselves. In fact, He tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10, He says, "We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle." So to this day, in the New Testament church, we have an altar. We have an altar to make sacrifices on, and that altar is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Under the Old Testament, if you went into the temple, there was two different altars. There was the brazen altar, in which the blood was put on, and then there was the golden altar, in which the incense was put on. One was for pardon, and one was representing prayer. Under the brazen altar, we had sacrifice and redemption. Under the golden altar, it tells us that Jesus Christ was our high priest. The brazen altar tells us about justification, but the golden altar was telling us about sanctification. The brazen altar was telling us about the Lamb, and the golden altar was telling us about the priest. See, the brazen altar was telling us about eternal salvation, and the golden altar, of course, was a separate altar, and it was teaching us about our daily walk and our temporal salvation. Therefore, we have a Christian altar. And His name is Jesus Christ. We don't have a material altar in the church, but we have a personal one. And it's an altar we need to make sacrifices on. So, the writer of Hebrews was presenting Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for sin. He is the altar. And what should we do as Christians in response to the fact that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice of sin, and He is our altar? He tells us that there are sacrifices that we need to make. In fact, He tells us specifically three of them, and they're found in verses 15, 16, and 17. First, in verse 15, we have the sacrifice of service. I'm sorry, the sacrifice of praise. Verse 16, we have the sacrifice of service. And in verse 17, we have the sacrifice of submission. Let's read those. Verse 15, it says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." And verse 17 is the sacrifice of submission to pastoral authority. Verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So, if Jesus Christ is our altar, and we are Christians in the New Testament church, He is our personal altar, and we ought to be making sacrifices on it. And the first one he lists is the sacrifice of praise. You know, we ought to give our bodies a living sacrifice. We ought to show Jesus Christ our devotion by our conduct and by our character. But let's not forget to praise Him with our lips. He tells us there in verse 15 that we need to give Him the sacrifice of praise from our lips. We need to praise the Lord. We need to say hallelujah. We need to say amen. We need to give Him our praise, not just through our conduct, but through our lips as well. Now, my wife knows I love her by what I do for her. But you know what? She likes to hear it every now and then. I tell her I love you, and she tells me she loves me. I think Brother Ronald said that last night. It's as nice to show someone that you love them, but you got to tell them also. And we need to be continually telling the Lord that we love Him through the praise, the sacrifice of praise, and the praise of our worship. Now, what are we going to be doing in heaven? I think our main job in heaven is that we're going to be praising our Lord. Now, if we're going to be praising our Lord in heaven, don't you think we got to get started right here? We need to be praising Him. Somebody says, what are we going to do in heaven, Brother Chris? Are we going to be playing a harp on some cloud? Is it, you know, man, that's boring. That sounds boring, doesn't it? Heaven is going to be anything but boring. It's going to be something we can't even put into words. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. I think, at our first glimpse of heaven, we're just going to gasp at the awesomeness and the majesty, the sights that we're going to see. And the most important thing we have to learn about heaven is that we're going to be in the very presence of God. That's the definition of heaven. And if we're going to be in the presence of God, shouldn't we praise Him? And we are going to praise Him if we go to heaven. So shouldn't we start now? We should start right. You know, somebody says, well, all right, Brother Chris, that sounds all good, but aren't I going to miss everybody on earth if I go to heaven? Well, you know, I just recently went to California, and I was sitting in economy. And through some overcrowding or some other situation, they bumped me up to first class. And I went up to first class, and they told me I could drink anything I wanted to drink for free. And they gave me a menu, and I could pick what I wanted to eat. So I was picking what I wanted to eat, and I was drinking what I wanted to drink. And you know what? I wasn't really thinking about... Was I really thinking about what they were doing in economy then? Gee, I wish I was sitting beside two stinky guys with their shoes off, paying $5 for a bag of peanuts. No, I wasn't doing that. And when we go to heaven, we're not going to be having thoughts like that, because we're going to be in the total presence of our Savior. In Psalms chapter 116, verse 17, it says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. He desires our praise. He demands our praise, and He deserves our praise. We praise people for a good job, and we ought to. I praise my sons when they do a good job. Somebody else does a good job. You need to give honor where honor is due, right? But there is a category of praise, which we have read, which only belongs to God. None of us fits that category of praise. See, there's type of praise that we give God because there's a subject that He has cornered the market on. This kind of praise only goes to God. For example, creation. You know, we've ate a lot of good food here today. And back at my home church of Antioch, I have some sweet ladies there that... cooked some marvelous dishes for lunch. And every once in a while, one sweet lady will come up to me and say, Brother Chris, I want you to taste my latest creation. And I tell that sister, you ain't created nothing. You already took what God created and you mixed it up together in a new and delicious way, but you did not create of that dish. See, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so we can only praise God for that. He's the only one that gets the praise for it. Now, there's a lot of people trying to take credit for God, for what He does. In the subject of salvation, who gets all the credit? Who gets all the praise? Who gets all our amens and hallelujahs? It's God our Father, because He is the author of our salvation. We have nothing to do with it. Before time began, He chose us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that same Son died upon the cross. And when He was hanging there, He saw the product of His pain. He saw the travail of His soul. And He saw all the seed that He would save and was satisfied. And if you're going to heaven, and when you're praising the Lord, you're not going to give credit to brother so-and-so, or track bearing so-and-so, or deacon so-and-so. You're going to give praise to praise is due. And that's Jesus Christ our Lord, because He's cornered the market. Who are you going to praise for redemption? It's going to be Jesus Christ our Lord, is it not? Who are you going to praise for your belief? It's by Jesus Christ that we do believe. And anything you have today, brothers and sisters, is because God gave it to you. We're just stewards. Now, I live in a certain part of Vero Beach. And I used to live one street over on Navarro. And when I first moved to Vero Beach in 1993, as luck would have it, there was another Chris and Sherry Taylor living in town. Just same names as my wife, Chris and Sherry Taylor. But this Chris and Sherry Taylor didn't like to pay their bills. And I would get telephone calls in the middle of the night from bill collectors asking me to pay the bills for Chris and Sherry Taylor. And I tried to tell them that there's another Chris and Sherry Taylor that live in Vero Beach, Florida. I'm sure. So, you know, I have a few resources myself. So I found out their number and called them back. And I said, what exactly a bill do these people owe? And he goes, you have not paid your bill on your Montgomery Ward card. And I started laughing. I said, I haven't been inside of Montgomery. Have y'all got Montgomery Wards up here? I haven't been inside a Montgomery Ward store since I was 10 years old. Much less had a Montgomery Ward credit card that I haven't paid off. One day, I was sitting in my office at the prosecutor's office, and people were starting coming by. True story. And they would come by and they say, "Well, Brother Chris, we're praying for you. You know, if you need anything, Chris, just let us know." And I was like, "What in the world is going on?" Well, I found out that Chris and Sherry Taylor got a divorce, and it was in the paper, and everybody thought it was me. Yeah, sure. But, you know, all of us can relate to the fact of owing people somebody. Owing money. Owing money on bills. I think we can all relate to that. Anybody ever got a final notice? Anybody ever got that red letter in the mail? Anybody have that? I think everybody has that one family member that borrows money from everybody and pays nobody back. And they'll show up at the family reunions, and everybody's looking at them saying, "When are you going to pay me back?" You know, there's three kinds of people. There's the haves, the haves not, and those that have not paid their bills. But we want to pay off our creditors, don't we? We want to pay our bills. I don't hear any amens out there, but we do want to pay our bills. But there's one debt that we will never pay off. And that's the debt to our Savior and everything He's done for us. But that does not abrogate our obligation to pay Him back and to offer Him the sacrifice of praise. And one way we can do that is giving Him the sacrifice of praise from our lips. The bottom line is we owe God. And we can't pay Him with money. We can't pay Him with a debit card, or a credit card, or a Montgomery Ward charge card. We can't give Him anything because He already owns everything. Psalms chapter 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So He owns everything. He owns the earth. He owns all the contents of the earth. The Bible says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, He doesn't count cattle by the head. He counts cattle by the hill because He owns all the cattle. So we cannot give Him what He doesn't have, but we can give Him the sacrifice of our lips. How many of y'all came today because you felt you needed to pay a bill? How many of y'all came today, on the other hand, because you felt like it? Many of us go to church, and I know this is a fellowship meeting Saturday morning, and we're preaching to the choir, but a lot of people only go to church when they feel like it. In Luke chapter 13, we don't know where it was. We know it was a tabernacle or a synagogue in Judea. Jesus Christ goes up there and He begins to teach. And as He looks over the crowd, He zeroes in on one woman in Luke 13. And it's a woman that has a grave affliction. She is bent over and she can't straighten up. Talked about a sickness or a curse from Satan. But I really can't imagine. But she was bent over like this, I think, and could not straighten herself. But where was she when it was time to go to church service? She was at church. you know, back then, if you had an affliction, the Jews thought there was something wrong with you. You know, remember when there was the man that was blind? They said, who did sin, him or his parents? So she already had people talking about her because of her affliction. And do you think that was some type of easy affliction? It was probably very painful and it was embarrassing. But it didn't keep her from going to church. If anybody didn't feel like going to church, it was her. But she went anyway. And if she hadn't gone to church, she would have missed her blessing. She went because she felt she owed God something. She owed God her devotion and her prayers and her praise. The sacrifice of praise. Now, some of y'all, I'll say some of y'all, like to make a lump sum payment to God. Y'all come to church on Easter or Christmas Eve. Some of y'all like to make a once a month payment. But you know what I think the Lord prefers? I think the Lord prefers weekly installments. Because where were the apostles on the first day of the week? They were gathered together in worship, in prayer, and preaching, and praising the Lord. And they did that because they felt they owed the Lord something. Do you feel like you owe the Lord something? Did you come here to pay a bill? In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but much so, more so as ye see the day approaching. Now, you can take that as the day of Jesus Christ, or you can take that as the worship day. I don't think you violate the Scriptures either way. But as we see the day of worship approaching, shouldn't we be encouraging one another? Hey, Sunday's coming up. Can't you wait? We get to get together and sing hymns. We get to praise Him with our lips. We get to hear the preaching of the gospel. We get to see the miracles of God. Because if you miss that Sunday, you might be like the lady in Luke chapter 13. If she hadn't come, she would have missed her blessing. Praise is fitted for God. He's the only one who deserves our praise. He delights in our praise, and He demands our praise. We owe God. We can never pay Him back, but we can serve Him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the first word there is therefore, and I teach folks back at Antioch, if you see the therefore, you need to see what that there is there for. And all you have to do is go back to the previous chapter, last verse, which says, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. And because of that, We need to give our bodies a living sacrifice. And it's not overly burdensome because it's our reasonable service. God gave His Son, so you owe God. You woke up this morning, so you owe God. You were able to come to church this morning, you owe God. You got up this morning and you took a breath of air, you owe God. You're healthy this morning, you owe God. You may be sick, but you made it to church anyway, you owe God. You have sense in your head and Jesus Christ in your heart, you owe God. And let's serve Him by praising Him. Enter to His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. It's a privilege to praise the Lord. You know that? It is a privilege to praise Him. You know, as I go and preach other places, I always make the statement, if you really knew me, you wouldn't let me stand up here and preach to you. But on the other hand, if I really knew you like God knows you, I wouldn't stay here either. But see, God knows all about me. He knows every single thing about me. He knows every single thing about you. But yet, He allows you to praise Him. What a privilege that is. God really knows us and He allows us to praise Him. You know, not just everybody can praise God. He doesn't accept the praises of everyone. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those that are willing and obedient and will do the word of God are allowed to approach Him and praise Him." I don't know if this is the way it is, but if you want to approach God, God refers to a son who's got a list. And if you're on the list, you're able to approach God and praise Him. But what did Jesus Christ tell those people that came up to Him and said, "Lord, Lord"? He says, "I'll say unto you, I never knew you." So not everyone can praise the Lord. So if you can praise the Lord this morning, it is a grand privilege. Verse 22 says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, well, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you." Not that He had never had any knowledge of Him, but He's never had an intimate, close relationship with them. They were not the ones that He chose in His Son before the dawn of time. Praising God is our new nature. Now, if you had a dog that didn't bark, there's something wrong with that dog, right? If you had a cat that didn't meow, something wrong with that cat. If you got a fish that don't swim, you got a dead fish. But if you got a Christian who doesn't praise the Lord, there's something wrong with that Christian. We need to be continually praising Him for everything in our lives. Anything we have, He gave it to us. Anything we do is because He allowed us to do it. If I have a hope of heaven, it's because God gave it to me in Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Him praise this morning. I mean, everybody else is coming out of the closet except Prayer and the Baptist. We're staying in the closet because we got lockjaw. We look like, as Brother Sam says, we look like we all swallow curtain rods or baptized in lemon juice. Let's get out there and praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, there is a person to be praised, as we talked about this morning. We've already talked about praise is a privilege, but there's also a place of praise. It says there, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts. Brothers and sisters, have we entered the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? It tells us in Matthew 13, only the willing and obedient will enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is not up there. It's right here in time. And if we're going to praise Him properly, brothers and sisters, it's because we have entered His courts. We have entered it and started praising Him. I love going to church. It's such a sanctuary, isn't it? Every once in a while, because of my job, somebody will come to church that has no intention of worshiping. They just want to get my ear about something. And that disrupts my peace. because I look at this as my sanctuary. We've all gathered here. We've separated ourselves from the world. And we've gathered together here. You know, it's a dark place out there, isn't it? It's a dark, scary, evil place. And what do the children of God do when that happens? We get together. We get together to encourage one another. And we get together to worship and to build each other up and edify us. So when we come and enter these courts, brothers and sisters, let's enter it in unison to praise the Lord. Amen. Not to criticize. Yeah. Not to talk negatively. They do all that out there. You know, we're all professional critics, you know. When we criticize somebody, it's constructive criticism. When somebody criticizes us, it's destructive criticism. But let's leave that out in the world. Let's come into His sanctuary. Let's come into His courts with praise. Praise ye the Lord. Now, Matthew, let me hasten to finish up here. My time is almost up. Now, when the children of Israel crossed the River Jordan, their first battle was Jericho. Now, at the time they got to Jericho, they were ready to fight. Because 40 years earlier, they were right on the edge. They were right ready to cross. And they believed, the children of Israel believed the evil report of those 10 spies. And because of that, God cursed them so that they would have to walk in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they're back again. And now they're ready to fight. But the Lord says, put down your spears and your swords and your bazookas and your A1 tank and whatever you got. I've got something different for you. You're going to go to the walled, thick-walled cities of Jericho and you're going to start marching. You're going to start marching. And you're going to circle the city on the seventh day 7 times. And then we're going to blow the trumpet. And then we're going to blow the horn. And then you're going to shout. And then something marvelous is going to happen. Now, nothing happened when they blew the trumpet. And nothing happened when they blew the horn. But when the children of Israel started shouting praises, the walls came tumbling down. Brothers and sisters, I believe in miracles. I believe the Lord still performs miracles today. And I believe marvelous things happen when we praise the Lord. When we're in the attitude and the actual doing of it, praising the Lord, miracles will happen. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 were put in prison. And I don't know, I think it's calculated they might have been in prison for 6 hours. They were in stocks and chains and everything else. And for 6 hours, nothing happened. But around midnight, even though they were in that position, they started singing hymns of thanksgiving and praise to God. And when they started to praise to God, the chains fell off. Let us, brothers and sisters, give our Lord the sacrifice of praise. Because when that happened, marvelous things happen in our lives. Thank you.